Hello, and welcome back to Midday Bach. I'm your host, Ethan Semendinger, and before we get to today's show, I would like to remind you that you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio out of Easton, Pennsylvania. Today's show will be doing a little bit different. As we all know, this is Midday Bach, and our namesake is because of Johann Sebastian Bach, but as we did last week, we are going to look a little bit into the works of his children, specifically Johann Christian Bach, also known as the London Bach or John Bach, and Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, also known as CPE Bach, in my AP Music Theory class back in high school. And then we will obviously be reaching the half hour listening again to Johann Sebastian Bach and his 15 inventions. We will be first playing some Johann Christian Bach in his six quartets, opus number 8, number 1 in C major. Enjoy.
Thank you.
And that was the first movement of Johann Christian Bach's Six Quartets, Opus 8, Number 1 in C Major. A little bit of history about Johann Christian Bach, or J.C. Bach. He is actually one of the biggest influencers on another famous composer, Mozart. In the year 1764, Bach actually met with Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, who was 8 at the time when he was brought to London by Mozart's father. He spent 5 months teaching Mozart about how to compose in proper composition, and is commonly and widely regarded as having the strongest influence on young Mozart. And scholars such as Theodor Weisse and Georges St. Foy have been stated in saying he is the only true teacher of Mozart, which is a very interesting thing, looking about the influence not only that Johann Sebastian Bach had on classical music, but also on his children that became very notable composers, and then how they influenced the rest of the world of classical music. So now we will continue into the second movement in Johann Christian Bach's Six Quartets, Number 1 in C Major.
Thank you.
And those were the six quartets by Johann Christian Bach. We now move into the trio sonata in D minor by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. This is actually composed of three different movements, so listen to the first two, and then I will interrupt again to leave you a little bit of history about Carl Philipp Emanuel. Thank you. Thank you. And that was the ending of the second movement of Carl Philipp Emanuel's Trio Sonata in D Minor, arranged for both flute and piano. And like I said, Carl Philipp Emanuel was the second, actually the fifth child, but the second surviving child of Johann Sebastian Bach and his wife Maria Barbara Bach. He was given his second name, Philipp, in honor of his godfather, George Philipp Telemann, who was a friend of Johann Sebastian Bach, another composer who actually seemed to teach himself almost everything he knew about music and playing. Actually, to distinguish him from his younger brother, Johann Christian Bach, who I have called and referred to as the London Bach, Carl Philipp was known around certain places as the Berlin Bach, because he resided, obviously, in Berlin, and also was known as the Hamburg Bach when he succeeded his godfather, George Philipp Telemann, as the Kapellmeister there. To other people, he was also simply known as Emanuel. But in order to really explain his legacy now, while Johann Christian Bach was, to some historians and scholars, the main teacher of Mozart, both Haydn and Beethoven were said to admire him and avidly collected C.P.E. Bach, or Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach's music, and Mozart even said of him that Bach is the father, and we are all the children, in relation, talking of Carl Philipp Emanuel. He also has said that his reputation has surpassed that of Johann Sebastian during the latter half of the 18th century, but I would argue in today's society we remember Johann Sebastian just a little bit more. He also has a museum and streets, and I would say is probably the most famous of the children of Johann Sebastian Bach. And now we'll move into the final movement in the Trio Sonata in D minor. Thank you. And longtime listeners of the show know that at the half hour, we like to take a little bit of time to listen to Johann Sebastian Bach's 15 inventions. This week is number 6 in E major. But before we get into that part of the show, I would like to remind you that you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio out of Easton, Pennsylvania. I am your host, Ethan Semendinger, and you are listening to Midday Bach. On this day, in the year 1879, October 28th, William Lincoln was first issued a patent for a lamp. And that has been all the inventions from today in history. Not a hugely important day, I would seem to guess, in the year of inventions. But in a more historical standpoint, in the year 1636, Harvard College was founded in Massachusetts. The original name of the college was the Court of Massachusetts Bay Colony. It was the first school of higher education in America. In the year 1886, the Statue of Liberty was dedicated in New York Harbor by then President Cleveland. The statue weighs 225 tons and is 152 feet tall, originally being known not as the Statue of Liberty, but the Liberty Enlightening the World. In the year 1904, the St. Louis Police Department became the first ever to use fingerprinting. And in the year 1965, the Gateway Arch along the waterfront in St. Louis, Missouri, was finally completed. This has been the 15 inventions. This week was number 6 in E major. Before continuing on to Anton Dvorak's Serenade for Strings in E major, actually, I was going to say, before we continue, I'd like to introduce our next song, but I guess that is what we'll be listening to, Anton Dvorak's Serenade for Strings in E major. This will bring us up into the end of the show as we listen to each of the 5 movements, starting with number 1, Moderato. Once again, thank you so much for listening to Midday Bach. I hope you enjoy the rest of our show. Thank you. And that was the second movement, also known as the Menuetto Allegro con moto of Anton Dvorak's Serenade for Strings in E Major. He wrote this whole serenade, it is said, in about 12 days, from the 3rd of May to the 14th of May. It was first premiered in Prague in December of 1876, on the 10th, by Adolf Scheck and the combined orchestras of the Czech and German theaters. It was published in 1877 in the composer's piano duet arranged by Emanuel Stary in Prague. It was first printed in a book 2 years later by Botti and Bach in Berlin. This was a very important time in Anton Dvorak's life. It was a very happy time, as it was 1875. He had a very young marriage, and he had just had, well, him and his wife had just given birth to his first son. He was also, for the first time in his life, he was really recognized as a powerful and contributing piece to music and as a composer, and for the first time in his life didn't really have to fear for poverty. He actually received a generous stipend from a commission in Vienna, which allows him to compose his fifth symphony, as well as several other chamber works, of where these five movements of the Serenade for Strings came from. We now move into the Scherzo, or the Vivace, as his third movement, and then we'll be listening to the Larghetto, or the fourth movement. Thank you so much for listening to Anton Dvorak's Serenade for Strings as part of Midday Bach. And as we are approaching the top of the hour, as it is 2:59, and before we listen to the final movement in Anton Dvorak's Serenade for the Strings, I would like to remind you that you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio. This is Midday Bach. We'll be wrapping up our show shortly. And I would like to thank you so much for listening along with us with our show today. And now is Anton Dvorak's Serenade for Strings in E Major, Movement 5, Finale.
Thank you.
thus is the end of our show this week. I'm Midday Bach. I would like to wish you all a very happy and healthy October 28th on this fantastic Monday. Once again, this has been Midday Bach. I was your host, Ethan Semendinger, and I want to thank you all so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you. Bye-bye.